Do I want another donut? I don't think I do.
I was just about to
too
do
much
a
sugar.
Sweet
go
intro.
Ahead, go ahead.
Intro.
I should improv. I'll grab one at the end.
You want one right now?
No.
During the show?
No.
Are you sure?
What,
donuts? Because I'm a little tired. I've got my voice is a little... Thank you for the tea. My throat is a little...
Did you like your tea, Brad?
A little...
Time to make the donut. I love tea. I drink 4 cups of tea a day.
Bullshit. It's like your 60 push-ups in the morning. It's
exactly.
Bullshit.
Why do you not believe... What is so hard to believe that?
He's looking at your body.
Feel it.
Whoa.
No, man. If you were doing 60 push-ups a day, you'd be fucking rock hard.
That is not true. 60
yes,
a day
is
not that much.
Wait, are your push-ups on, like, your knees?
60 push-ups a day is
a lot. Oh, he's about
to
do it. All right, here we go. Brian is demonstrating a push-up. Hang on, I can hardly see.
I do
okay.
5 sets of 12.
All right, do you circle the room like that when you get ready?
I go like this. I do one leg in the air.
Oh, whoa, one leg in the air. Oh, that's pretty good. Greg?
It's good. I'm not saying that he can't do push-ups.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he's
switching
60
legs
a day.
He's doing pretty good right now.
5 sets of 12, that's nothing.
It's a lot, man.
That's
I'm just
what
saying,
I do.
But your body would just go boom if you did 60
no,
a day.
I think this
it's
is him
that, but
insulting your body.
No, I'm not insulting his body.
People work out for 3 hours a day to get that ripped. That's not getting ripped. That's just getting the blood flowing and like...
Yeah, and eating
and
or your muscle
getting your heart pumping in the morning and getting some like electrolytes... jamming in your brain.
You're pumping right now, Brian.
Yeah, go do 12 push-ups and see what happens to your body.
On one leg.
60 push-ups a day.
Methinks he doth protest too much.
He doth protest too much on what?
Thy push-up countage. And thy honesty.
So what you're saying,
yes,
if I may recount your verbiage... is that you doth not believe me.
I believe that he is waiting for you to ascertain whether or not your statement was in fact true.
Tis true.
Tis true.
Tis true.
Tis true.
Tis true.
On
tis
this true. Day henceforth therewither too.
Oh, boy.
60 push-ups a day.
Ton, ton.
Ton, ton.
Dun, dun.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Brian Gerard.
Hey.
Oh, hey, Brian.
Along with Gregory Hoyt.
Oh, me? Oh, God.
Robert
Good
Schein.
Evening.
Robert
Good
Schein.
Evening.
Hey.
Good
Schein.
Evening.
Hey.
Good evening,
wow.
Ladies.
Hang on. Oh. Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Hey.
We are known to the general public as the Schein Show.
We are. And in some private circles... we are known as three awesome guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
So my throat is a little sore, and I think it's because of the little air travel that I've just recently done.
Oh,
well,
did you
do 60 push-ups in the morning and then drink some Airborne?
No, I was...
Airborne.
I was...
Does anyone still do Airborne?
I think I have some old Airborne.
Airborne was
still
malarkey, right?
I don't think that's malarkey.
No, it's the same thing as...
They're vitamin C pills.
It's the same thing as that the little... What are those? The packets. The
Emergency.
C. Emergency,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But it's effervescent, so it gives a little bubbly.
A little seltzery.
I just came in from the East Coast. I was at a wedding in Connecticut.
Connecticut, you're in
Coast.
A friend got married in Manchester.
Oh, Manchester, Connecticut.
No, Manchester, Connecticut. There are a lot of Manchesters.
Yeah, there are.
Right outside of Hartford. While we were there, the day before, actually the day that we left, I went with my family up to Old Sturbridge Village.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Sturbridge you realize that you were not merely 20 minutes from where I grew up.
And 40 from
that,
my
You
hometown.
Know what? That doesn't surprise me because the accents, I could hear your accent
really?
Everywhere.
It was right
everywhere.
There.
Yeah, it was right there.
Oh, man.
Right
Sturbridge Village is the best. I used to want to work there.
I can imagine. It's awesome.
Yeah, it would
okay,
be a
so
good swing.
What do you remember most about Old Sturbridge Village?
Oh,
which, by the way, for people who don't know what this is, it is an old... It's like... a smaller version. It is a smaller version of Colonial Williamsburg, a much smaller, more quaint 1800s, where all the buildings are from there.
Blacksmiths, people riding horses.
So they built this village, and they actually moved a lot of the buildings back in the 60s from other towns around New England to this one location to create this village.
It's so great.
Okay, so what do you remember most about it?
I have a great Sturbridge Village
story. Let's hear it.
So I was in like fifth grade. And yeah. I had been to Sturbridge Village before on a class trip, but...
It seemed like a very class trip-oriented kind of place.
Oh, that's what, growing up, that we went there once a year.
It was
really?
So good. Wow. And we were a little further away, so we wouldn't go once a year. But we would go, like, you would have a Sturbridge Village trip with your class during elementary school, I believe.
Gotcha.
Or middle school. I think elementary school. So, I had already been once, and it was fall, and fall's a great time to go to Sturbridge Village
because
the leaves are changing,
it's beautiful.
And there's hot apple cider, and there's the smell of fire in the air, you know what I mean? Like, it's a great time to be at Sturbridge Village.
New England clam chowder in a bowl.
Oh, yeah.
But did they have people over an open flame stirring a big pot of porridge?
No.
No, they didn't?
No.
There used to be that.
There
like,
wasn't
there used
a,
to be a woman, like, making big pots of stew and
now,
shit.
Now, this was during the... When was this? This was on a Sunday.
Oh,
and I guess
like
it's getting colder.
Sturbridge Village. Yeah.
So it wasn't too packed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the blacksmith... Well, I'll tell you what he said later.
Okay.
So go ahead. Let's dive
so
in here.
So this is, like, fifth grade, and I used to... I was hanging out with the McKay family on a daily basis. I've told you guys about the McKay family.
I don't know anything
The Wild West over there. Total Wild West.
Right.
And
never heard of him.
The older brother, Ian...
this is Graham McKay.
Graham McKay's older brother, Ian.
Yeah.
And, so,
these are the guys who left you out on the ice floe?
Yeah, that's
just to fill
family.
Everybody
Sometimes
in.
You, I think about that story and I wonder what life, my life would be like if they just left Greg.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
They did just leave me there, are you idiots?
But had you not made it back somehow
with
your ingenuity and MacGyver powers.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So I'm hanging out at the McKay's and the plan is we're going to go to Sturbridge Village.
Right.
And I'm so stoked.
Okay.
And...
This is like
it's
the Disney World of New England.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least in the North Shore. North and South Shore of Massachusetts.
Vintage Americana, which is your favorite
thing.
Oh, I
love
it. Vintage Americana.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Okay.
And I'm a budding young actor at that point, so I know I'm going to see these people.
Yes.
Who at that point, I believe, are not in character, but are living that life and are actually time-traveled from
And
them.
By the way, I would say some of them are,
living
in fact,
that, life.
That way.
Yes, totally. Because they've gone so far down the rabbit hole.
They have indeed, right. Like the old store owner, which we talked to. And everything he was like... My dad was asking him questions about different things that they would have at that time. And he's like, yep, I got food, I've got nails, I've got lots of lumber, I've got this. And he's speaking as in, I have this now. And then we were talking about shoes. And he's like, he takes his foot, slaps it on the counter. He's like, I used to work in the shoe shop, and these are my shoes I made.
And he's been living that life for so long that his actual life is that.
Yes. But go ahead.
Character.
I digress.
No, it's okay. So it's the morning of the day that we're going to Sturbridge Village. So I get dropped off over to the McKay's, and we're hanging out. They're making me cut firewood as usual. Like, there was a lot of like, make Greg cut cords of firewood.
Nice.
And make fun of him
this
for being a
fall,
pussy. This is fall. Like,
you
late
need
fall
a lot of
winter.
Wood
it's,
for,
yeah.
for the winter. That's
yeah,
coming.
And they lived in a house that was built in the late 1600s that did not have central heating. So it was all wood fired heat in the McKay house.
It's
which
heat
was
yourself
amazing.
Twice, right?
I loved
chop
it.
The wood
like,
and
I,
burn
yeah,
the
yeah,
fire.
Yeah, exactly. I loved it.
Yeah.
But they would always give me a hard time, and Ian was older, and he would make me do all sorts of things. And that was, like, the danger of living and being around there. But I just, I loved it. So,
like
I finished
stranded on an ice floe.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I finish chopping the wood, and Ian had this sort of psychotic knowledge of physics and would always be challenging the laws of physics.
Okay.
So he took a plank, like an old wooden plank, and put it over one of the bigger stumps of wood that we hadn't cut yet.
Right.
And made basically a seesaw.
Like a seesaw.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He tells me, and there's a deck coming off the back of their house at that point. He tells me to get on the end of the seesaw that's on ground.
Oh,
and he proceeds, and I do it, and he threatens my life. If I don't do it, he'll kill me. You know what I mean? Which is typical.
Okay.
And at that point, a 13-year-old that's twice your size telling you he's going to kill you, you take that to
be How old
true.
Were you at the time?
8 or 9.
Okay. Oh
so
God.
I get on the other end of the seesaw, and Ian does basically what would be the equivalent of a cannonball onto the...
Off of the deck.
Off of the deck.
Onto the
onto
other
the
end.
Lifted end of the seesaw, launching me into the air and onto the wood pile, where I break my ankle.
Oh, my God.
I break my ankle on the wood pile, and I'm like in incredible pain. Ian is immediately, as always, trying to... stifle my cries and make it all better. Graham is there. Graham's remaining quiet because he knows he could be next. So it's just like, it's basically like any dictatorship.
Can I ask a quick question here?
Powerless.
What is your current relationship with Ian?
It's a healed relationship. It's a healed relationship. We've had enough time and enough of these horrible experiences that we're cool. I don't let him anywhere near my well-being.
Right. And, you know? Was there ever any chance for payback with this guy?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. Continue.
And payback wasn't required because he was just the older kid, so you kind of just took whatever was happening. I didn't really realize what madness it was until later in telling these stories and having people respond the way
sure.
they do.
And in therapy.
Yeah, in therapy.
Hindsight, I've learned that my theory is hindsight is not something that you develop until later on in life.
Yeah.
Kids don't understand that. Foresight.
Yeah.
Where they are not able, you are not able to develop foresight. You can't look ahead and see what's going to happen when this goes there and that's going to happen.
No, you're just doing whatever you're told and whatever's happening.
Which is why kids do some really stupid things. So here you are on the woodpile.
My ankle is broken for sure. I know it's broken.
Yeah.
I'm in excruciating pain.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Ian and Mrs. McKay refused to take me to the hospital.
Mrs. McKay as well.
Yeah. Instead, they're telling me that I'm overblowing it and we're just going to go to Sturbridge
Village. We're going to Sturbridge Village.
Greg, I literally can't walk. You're fine. Just get in the car. Just get in the car.
And I'm like, oh, my fucking leg. My leg. I got to go. No. And I kind of, you know, after a while, your leg just starts pounding. So it's not as much awful pain, but like every time they would be like, just walk to the car, and I can't walk.
Oh my god.
So I'm hobbling, and then finally Ian takes me and picks me up and puts me in the car. And Sturbridge Village is a 40-minute drive from Amesbury.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the whole drive, everyone's giving me shit that I'm over, you know, that I'm being
meanwhile,
spiced.
Your ankle is cracked in half.
Broken.
It's probably swelling at this point, right?
It's insane swelling. I'm having to take my shoe off, I remember. Like, it was just blowing out. And we get to Sturbridge Village, and I can't move. I can't even move. They pull me out of the car, and Ian gives me a piggyback ride. But a piggyback ride where my ankle's flopping.
Oh, my God.
So, like, every step is just, like, incredible pain.
Now, I remember, by the way, this is a funny thing, that in Sturbridge Village, just past the, what's called, the meeting house,
mm-hmm.
okay, there's the small house, and then there's this place called the meeting house, mm-hmm. which is an old Quaker home, a Quaker meeting place.
Meeting house, yeah, there are a lot of
there is a, there's a little path. And there was a sign off in the distance, and it was this old tattered first aid sign. And I remember turning to Nora was with me, and I was like, you know, I'd hate to have to go there. This you probably get 1800s service when it comes there.
They now, just cut my foot off.
Exactly. Now, did you go to the first aid there?
It was getting worse. I can remember it was just getting so bad, like, once I was there that I was really, like, I was crying. I mean, I was trying to, like, hold it together, but it was very bad. And I think at that point they started realizing, like, oh.
It's probably broken.
We probably just made an 8-year-old with a broken foot go to Sturbridge Village.
Right.
So it was just a bad day. But even then, even still, I was so bummed because I love Sturbridge Village so much.
So you didn't even get to go in.
No, I went in. They made me go in. Ian forced me onto his shoulders, you know. And
you went
in. Yeah, it was kind of like, I'm putting you on my fucking shoulders. I'm going to carry you through this.
And so he was carrying you through the village, and you were crying and
in incredible pain. Yeah, pain.
And then what happened? Did they finally say, okay, let's
I think we cut it short. Yeah, I think we cut it short, and they just probably brought me home, and then I went to the hospital and, you know, got a cast. And
They then took you 40 minutes just
back
home.
To Amesbury, and then my mom came and picked me up. And it wasn't like a shock that I had been seriously injured at the McKays. You know? It wasn't a shock that I was coming home
Why
crying.
Why didn't your parents let you hang out with them?
Because
if I could have them on the show right now, I would ask them that question.
Yeah. Because I didn't tell them everything that was going on. You know, as a kid, I don't think I told them that Ian had made me get on a catapult, you know, and jumped on the other end. I think I probably told them, like, I just twisted my ankle or something like that.
What did they say? What did the McKays say when they saw you were in a cast?
I think it was just big laughs.
Big laughs.
Lot of laughs.
A lot of laughs.
A lot of good times, a lot of smiles, a lot of joking around, a lot of ribbing.
Yeah. A couple of little hits to the shoulder.
Being like, oh man, it's just your ankles.
Now. Welcome to New England, man. I mean, seriously.
You'd be fine.
Vintage Americana.
It is totally vintage Americana. There was not a lot of like...
When I was a kid, I got hit in the head with a full swing, a 28-ounce aluminum bat.
Oh my God.
The deck, right? And you know what? You know what what I remember hearing after that? By the way, I should have been knocked out.
You probably weren't. Well, you probably had a concussion.
I just was like, "Oh, that really felt terrible." You know what I heard? Get up, shake it off.
Yep, dust it off.
Shake it off.
Walk it off. That was it, man. It was walk it off. Everything was walk it off. Even when you were broken ankles, walk it off.
Well, I think that's what my the babysitter told me to do after I jumped off the roof of my garage. Because her boyfriend was over, and she wanted,
she would have been in trouble.
Yeah,
so walk she was like, "Shh, yeah. Shut up, Robert.
Walk it off."
So I get it. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not mad at the McKays. I totally get it. It was just the way that things were.
You get it. Okay. Well, Brian.
Yeah.
Do you have any Sturbridge Village moments?
But I love Sturbridge Village. Let me just say that I love that place.
It was fun.
It's vintage American.
Sometimes I have elaborate daydreams where
you're working there.
I'm working there. I give it up and work? I go home and work.
Would you be the blacksmith? You'd be the blacksmith.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you, the blacksmith was straight out of, I don't know if you watched True Blood at all.
Yeah.
You know the guy who works in the cafe as the cook?
Yeah.
Who sort of has post-traumatic stress, right? Yeah. The blacksmith at Sturbridge Village right now looks just like him and was kind of talking like that. There was this kid who was over there trying to work this hand crank drill, and the kid is just going to town on the thing, like spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And then the blacksmith is over there just like looking at the kid. I get 2,000 kids a day coming in trying to do that, and if I had it set it up right, I wouldn't have a table anymore. And he's looking at this kid, and he looks like he was straight out of prison, kind of.
Who, the blacksmith?
The blacksmith. Okay. And the blacksmith was definitely, is a creepy kind of blacksmith.
Yeah, but
You could tell that he definitely dealt with 2,000 kids a day during the summer.
Can you imagine that job?
No.
No. Why would you want to be a blacksmith?
Well, no, blacksmith would be fun. But
in a real world
in the real world, I would see the fun in that.
Yeah.
But blacksmith in that environment, no.
Would not be fun.
And glass blowing.
Oh, those guys are pretty
totally
cool.
I got into that out here.
That's right.
And they have like an exhibit on glass blowing. I don't know if they had an actual glass blowing thing. I had to leave a little early. But
no, I don't think that's probably like a special event. They can't have a guy in there blowing glass and firing the kiln.
They do that in Williamsburg.
Oh yeah.
They
Williamsburg
is insane. Yeah. That's amazing.
Brian, you've done Sturbridge Village. What did you like about it?
I mean,
stagecoach ride. They do those. Yeah. They're doing that. I was shocked that as the stagecoaches, there's a big square, right? And a lot of the houses are built around that. And as the stagecoach would rumble by with maybe six people in it, the whole house shook. So you imagine like...
Oh, yeah.
Well, the stagecoaches are made out of iron and heavy
wood. Yeah,
they're
heavy, man.
Yeah.
And horses, you know?
And these homes are not on concrete foundations either. No. So just imagine how it would have been if you lived on a, you know, semi-busy street.
Well, and imagine... house was shaking. Totally. And imagine storms.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Like, back in the day, like, if a storm came through, you were literally looking around your house going... Is this thing going to hold up?
Yeah, right. And a lot of times it didn't.
Right. So you go to the meeting house, which is built a little
sturdy. Which was totally, because in meeting house, we have a Quaker meeting house in Amesbury.
Oh,
That's up. Yeah, and we actually had we have a Rocky Hill meeting house, and we have the Quaker meeting house.
Is it still Quaker? Is it still Quaker, or is it historical?
Yeah, no, it is still Quaker. It's actually, they use it, there's not a huge Quaker, I don't think,
community in Amesbury.
There, but I think it's still owned by the Quaker faith.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, those buildings are great. They're still standing. So a lot of houses from back in the day are still standing in Amesbury.
Yeah. I'd probably sell tobacco.
If you worked there?
I'd be the tobacconist. Pipes.
Yeah.
I'd whittle pipes.
Yeah.
You'd be a whittler?
I'd whittle...
Well, every waking hour, it seems, was spent working.
You work, that's all you do.
Yeah.
Which was great, which is why they were so much happier.
Constantly physical...
Physical labor. And, like,
and then you get a splinter and die.
But while you're on the planet, you're busy.
You know, the first house that you go into in Sturbridge Village, is they call it the small house. And you walk in, and you are in the living room slash dining room slash kitchen slash everything, right?
It's one room.
No, there were two rooms and a second floor. Oh. The second floor was just the attic. So the downstairs, there's a fire in the fireplace. It's nice and warm, yeah. Right? Yeah. There's a little bedroom off to the side where you can see. And you take a peek upstairs. And literally, just by walking around the corner and sticking your head up maybe two steps, it was frigid. It was freezing cold upstairs.
Yeah.
Freezing.
Yeah.
So that's a hard life.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my, you would go to bed.
Proximity heat. Yeah. Like you're staying.
And a lot of, like growing up back then, what you would do is you would take a hot log and you'd take it to bed with you and you put it at the foot of your bed.
Yeah. For real. And they had
a hot log.
Log. They put a log on the fire and then you put you have a tray at the foot of your bed.
Like a metal tray.
I have. Do you put coals in that?
Yeah, coals, wood, whatever. Yeah. I mean, whatever you
have. Yeah, I saw the hot water bottles, too, that they do.
My grandmother used to do that back in the day.
Like a jug, a ceramic jug sort of thing, and then they put hot water in it. And
my grandmother used to put hot medicine bottles, those, like, rubber ones, in the bed. And we had electric blankets.
Yeah.
Because, the houses in New England are old.
And those are the things that spark and catch on fire.
Yep.
And a lot of places burn down.
Yeah. It's cold, man.
While you're sleeping.
It's, let's not mistake anything.
Right.
It's cold as fuck in New England. Yes. It is not it's chilly. It is harsh, bitter, fuck-fest cold. Even in modern houses that have great insulation and great windows and stuff, it's freezing if you just let it sit.
Yeah.
Within an hour, if you turn the heat off in a house in New England in the dead of winter, within an hour, I would argue, 80% of the homes are almost exterior temperature cold. It's like that kind of invasive.
One of the ladies who was in one of the houses, and she believed in her heart of hearts that she was the wife of the pastor. In any case, she was talking about how, whether it was in that house or it was in the small house, she had a fire going. She came in the morning and she put water out in a cup, and the water had ice crystals in it after an hour, and the ice crystals didn't melt until 1 o'clock that day, and that's with the fire going the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And they are bundled up. They've got all sorts. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy what they have to
vintage
have to deal
New
with.
England Americana.
Back in the day, like McKay's house was wood fire. Heated, and the toilets would freeze all the time.
We don't know how lucky we are.
Yeah.
Most people don't, with their iPads and their iPhones and their cars and their gasoline and the electricity and their Nintendos and their reality television and their Playboy magazines and their microwave foods and their microwaves and their oil-heated lamps and their fans and their dial-up modems and their bikes with 17 gears on it. You don't know how lucky you are. When we were growing up, we had a wheel, and a string, and prayer. On behalf of Robert Chad and Gregory Hoyt, my name is Brian Gerard, we're the Shy Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about luck. In the middle of the sun.